Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
With our constant reminder to back up your important data and check your spam filters frequently, during our 27th year on the air, welcome into Tomorrow. This for the weekend of Friday, March 4th, 2022. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. And happy birthday weekend before anything else happens.
What else do you expect to happen?
I don't know.
You
look like you're ready to just cut me off, so I wanted to get that in there.
Well, I'm just trying to keep the show moving.
Okay.
Well, but thank you for the happy birthday.
I would sing to you, but you don't want that.
It's actually Saturday the 5th, so if you're listening to us on Saturday, I accept your birthday wishes. If you're hearing the show on Sunday or any time after March 5th, thank you for the belated wishes. How's that?
Works for me.
Okay. And remember, I'm not old. I'm retro. Oh.
Retro, vintage, same thing.
Oh, that hurts me in my heart. Accurate, but hurts me in my heart. Anyway, we always try to be entertaining and informative, and we're always free, bringing you Into Tomorrow, covering the latest in consumer tech. Tech news and commentary, and then a bunch of your calls standing by, Mimi in Atlanta, among many others. Lots of tech news and commentary to share with you.
Apple has set a date for its next event, sending out invites to the media for this coming Tuesday, March 8th. Of course, Apple is expected to introduce a new moderately priced iPhone SE with a bigger screen, upgraded iPads with faster chips, and possibly even upgraded Macs. So stay tuned to the show next week, because we'll have all things Apple. Well, at least tell you what they've announced.
You know, you think with technology by now, they would have been able to grow apples without that goofy little sticker on it.
Right.
That was one of my stories past week.
I don't know that if I looked at your stories.
Yeah, I know. Why do you never look at my stories on Instagram or, well, you're not on Instagram, but on Facebook?
Because people can see that you look at their stories. I don't need that kind of stalking in my life.
So? Stalking.
People don't need to know what I'm up to.
Since you were talking about Apple, supposedly the upcoming Apple Car will make a self-driving feature that Apple has been teaming with a South Korean company to produce, according to the ELEC, one of Korea's outsourced semiconductor assembly and test companies, is the reported tech partner working with Apple's South Korean offices on the project, which is expected to be completed sometime next year. Huh. So that Apple Car on again, off again is apparently on again, who knows. Huh. But of course, just like Apple, they have to call it Apple something.
Yeah. Well, at least they don't call it iCar.
I was just going to say, thank goodness they're not trying to call it iCar. Who knows? It hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
They might still.
True.
But now we can't ignore the Ukraine situation, and at least from a tech angle as well. First of all of our wishes and prayers with the Ukrainian people, because I think for the most part, the world is against what Putin's been doing with Ukraine. But the EU, of course, announced that it's banning the Russian state-backed channels RT, which formerly were known as Russia Today, and then they now said RT. Interesting how they dropped the Russia name a while ago, because here in America, there's RT America, which was Russia Today America. Now it's just RT. Although the likes of DirecTV, Hulu, and others have dropped it as well. Good.
Mm-hmm.
I say, especially because that moron Rick Sanchez is on it, or was on it, or who knows? I never watched it. I was on it a few times with our friend Holland, talking tech, not talking anything promoting Russia or Putin. But anyway, they're also dropping Sputnik, not the aircraft, the spaceship. That would be bad. But in an unprecedented move against the Kremlin media machine, the European Commission president said, "We will ban the Kremlin's media machine in the EU, the state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik, and their subsidiaries will no longer be able to spread their lies to justify Putin's war." No word yet about how or if the similar RT America channel will be affected, except, as I mentioned, DirecTV and Hulu, which was pretty much their entire audience in the U.S. anyway. I don't know that they were even on anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I had them for a while on Sling, which I don't think is still owned by Dish or anything. But it's,
no, I don't think so.
But I haven't heard anything about whether or not Sling is going to drop them or keep them, but
yeah,
we'll see.
And along those lines, Facebook and YouTube are blocking Russian state media from running ads on their platform. So at least they're not making money off them if they've stopped the ads.
And they can't monetize their posts, which, of course, doesn't really do anything except benefit the platforms because now they don't have to share that ad revenue.
Exactly. While Twitter is suspending all advertising in Ukraine and Russia as pressure mounts on tech platforms to respond to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Facebook says it has restricted Russian state media's ability to earn money on their anti-social media platform. Facebook's parent company, Meta, said that Russia would hit its services with restrictions after it refused authorities' order to stop using fact checkers and content warning labels on its platforms. Okay.
And I also saw that Netflix apparently is defying the Russian government because there was a new law that went into effect where they were going to have to carry these Russian propaganda channels. And Netflix said, we're not doing that.
And kudos to some American movie companies who have pulled movies from Russia, including The Batman. They just pulled that movie.
Yeah. And General Motors has already announced that they will not export any vehicles to Russia.
Shell backed out of Russia, and BP. I mean, so there's some things. If nothing else, it's got to get Putin to go, if he hasn't by the time you hear this, okay, big mistake, never mind, come back home, all you Russian army. And there's been many of their military that refuse to bomb civilian towns and areas. I don't know if they're just, you know, aiming guns elsewhere and bombing empty fields and saying, oh, it just didn't calibrate properly. But all their equipment that's been abandoned, run out of gas. Did you happen to see a video on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube and everywhere where some Ukrainian farmer stole a Russian tank and he's pulling it with his tractor?
Yeah, and I saw a meme a picture of a Russian soldier, you know, supposedly calling Putin to say, so a farmer stole our, you know, equipment with a tractor.
Can you imagine? Anyway, YouTube also stopped running advertisements on channels from Russian state-backed media and certain other accounts included in sanctions over Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. The video giant says they're restricting access to state-funded RT, again, what used to be called Russia Today, and a number of other channels in Ukraine. It will also limit the ways its system recommends those videos to viewers. So, like, it's changing the way they recommend those videos? How about just don't do them? Mm-hmm. Don't recommend them. Never mind changing the way. So at least it's good that tech companies have also gotten involved and said, hey, we got to do our part. And of course, no fly zones of any Russian aircraft even over the U.S. now. So, good.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, electric vehicle charging stations along Russia's M11 motorway, which stretches from Moscow to St. Petersburg, are not working because a Ukrainian company that provided parts for the chargers hacked them using a backdoor in the chargers' control systems.
Oh, I love it. Good job.
So now the chargers show an error message reading in English, "Call service, no plugs available," before new screens show additional messages in Russian saying, "Glory to Ukraine, glory to the heroes, death to the enemy, and Putin is a D word that I can't say on the radio."
Well, hey, if you're going to hack the stuff, you might as well do it right, right?
Yeah.
So you might as well get your message across. I like how the first one, though, is very typical. Yeah. No plugs available. Try again later. You know, it's like, oh, darn. And then, then it slams them. Interesting. You got to love tech when it's used properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creators of longer form content on TikTok may not have to break up their videos into parts anymore. Remember, we complained about that here on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part two of four, and oh, forget it. I keep scrolling. I don't want to have to go looking. Well, you know why that's not going to be the case anymore? Because TikTok has extended the maximum length of videos to 10 minutes.
This is ridiculous.
From three minutes.
I like the shorter because if I went to a video and it said part one, I just scrolled right by.
Yeah.
Now, you know, how long am I going to have to sit before I realize, oh, this is a video that's way too long to watch?
Well, if you're watching it, it's because presumably you're interested.
Yeah, but see, TikTok's supposed to be a short video platform. It's no longer a short video platform.
They've done ruined that. TikTok last increased its maximum video time back in July when it upped video length from 1 minute to 3 minutes. Meantime, Facebook Reels is still 30 seconds because Zuckerberg just can't get with it.
Well,
not that I care either, but you know, once in a while we'll do a little promo announcement about the show, who's on the show this week or something, and it fits fine on TikTok and Twitter and stories and whatnot. But then I put it on Reels and it gets cut off. That's because Zuck doesn't like me. I don't know why. Why would he not like me?
Because you don't say nice things about him on the radio.
Oh. So you don't think because it's my birthday he'll give me a present and stop shadow banning me all over the place?
No.
What? But it's my birthday. That's not good enough?
No.
Darn. By the way, from the Dexcom G6 studios, make knowledge your superpower for managing diabetes. We welcome them back. Visit Dexcom, DEXCOM.com for more details. Just over 75% of consumers in a camera IQ study have tried augmented reality. I find that hard to believe. 75% of consumers have tried augmented reality? No. But that's what they're claiming, with more than 50% of those remaining eager to experiment. AR visualization would make 59% more inclined to buy a product, and 78% would post brand experiences to social media. Of course, no one has any way of knowing if they would be positive posts or not. Mm-hmm. But come on, 75% of consumers, you know, how does our audience feel about that? Is that something, have you tried augmented reality? Do you like it? Do you use it? Are you among the alleged 75% of consumers that have tried it? That seems like an awful high amount to me.
Do 75% of consumers even have like mobile phones?
Well, yes, there are more mobile phones than anything else. But it's an augmented reality thing, though. Are they actually doing it?
Onward Mobility, the startup hoping to revive BlackBerry phones with a 5G keyboard-equipped Android device, is ending its work on the phone and shutting down as a company.
Uh-oh.
The company wrote in a statement on its website, "It is with great sadness that we announce that Onward Mobility will be shutting down, and we will no longer be proceeding with the development of an ultra-secure smartphone with a physical keyboard."
Kind of a stupid name then, right? Yeah. Onward Mobility,
exactly.
Shutting down?
Yeah. Mm. Despite saying that, quote, "This is not the outcome we worked and hoped for," Onward Mobility's statement doesn't give any indication of exactly why it canceled the project. But Android Police previously reported that its license to use the BlackBerry branding had recently been canceled, and it couldn't have been easy trying to make it as a new smartphone manufacturer amidst an ongoing global chip shortage.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So for all you BlackBerry fans that were holding out for that new BlackBerry, you keep holding out.
Yeah, sorry about that. Interesting report from our friends at PC Mag. A recent World of Warships survey of 2,000 adult U.S. gamers revealed a slew of life benefits gamers see thanks to gaming. Life benefits, such as feeling less lonely and finding love as a result of gaming.
Okay.
I find that also hard to believe. Respondents also credited gaming for helping them learn more about the world as well as setting life goals.
Okay.
From gaming. Now, what are you learning about the world? And what possible life goals are you setting other than, I want a gun like that? Or so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they surveyed 2,000 adult U.S. gamers.
So you don't really learn many good things about life playing something like Grand Theft Auto or anything.
Not any good things about life anyway, although maybe setting a life goal to try to avoid prison. But I believe their survey, but I find it odd.
Android phones might finally gain a feature that Apple has had for years.
Oh, big whoop. Usually Apple steals from us anyway. Yeah,
well, Apple, for the longest time, has had an option to adjust the brightness of the flashlight on iPhones. However, most Android devices just give an on-off option.
So, you either need it or you don't.
Sometimes you don't want it so bright. We've done it when we've gone out to dinner and we have to turn our flashlights on to see the menu. I'm able to turn mine on dim so that it's not... like the sun.
You're on an iPhone, so of course it's dim.
Yeah. Android 13 could possibly change that. Google's upcoming OS includes two new APIs, namely Get Torch Strength Level and Turn On Torch with Strength Level. The first method brings up the brightness level of the LED flash, while the second one sets it from a minimum value of 1 to a maximum determined by the hardware. Previously, apps could only switch the LED flash on or off.
I hate that they even call it torch. It's not a torch. It's a flashlight.
Well, outside the U.S., that's what most people call flashlights or torch.
I know. Just like elevators or lifts.
Yeah.
And escalators or moving stairs or I don't know.
And apparently they put little hats on the front of their cars, bonnets.
God. Yeah, we could spend the whole 3 hours talking about those things. But instead, Mimi in Atlanta, Georgia, listens on AM 920 The Answer. Welcome into tomorrow, Mimi.
What are your thoughts on Elon Musk's statement about how many Starlink units have been sent to Ukraine? And were they sent to the government or to the people?
Oh, good question, Mimi. Not many thoughts, actually, other than rapid deployment seems like a very good and obvious use case for satellite internet, since it's designed to be used in areas where there is no real infrastructure. It was likely the real idea to monetize his infrastructure to begin with, since Musk largely lives off of government contracts. So this may have been a really convenient proof of concept to point out in an RFP, or request for proposal, if you will, to the U.S. government in the future for him.
Yeah, now the equipment went out to the government. What was shown publicly was less than a truckful, which should be helpful to the government, but would likely be an insanely small number of devices to serve the population.
Yeah, now before the war, Ukraine had a population of more than 40 million. Supplying that population would be like supplying all of Texas, and then feeling generous and supplying all of Georgia on top of that. There may never be enough Starlink devices to do something like that, since the connection they can provide is still very inferior to wired internet and even wireless 5G. So this was a relatively small shipment that should help, of course, to keep the government connected, most likely not the general public.
Yeah, but now an engineer based in Kyiv tweeted that Starlink was working in Ukraine as of this past Monday evening with download speeds of 137 megabits per second.
Well, that's respectable.
Now, for satellite, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Now, last week on the show, I talked about the islands in Tonga and how they were cut off from the internet after a volcano erupted. Elon Musk also sent terminals there free of charge to keep that island connected while the undersea cable was repaired.
True. And don't get us wrong. I mean, I think a lot very favorably about what Elon Musk does and is doing, and in this case is trying to help. But you got to know, if he's sending terminals, receivers, the whole bit, they're very likely to get destroyed, or a lot of them, yeah, if the shelling and bombing and whatnot continue. But at least if in the interim they can keep some people, whether it's mostly the government and some general public, to be able to send information out to the world and request more help and show us what's really going on there, then great. And I think that's very cool of him. So, Mimi, good question. I hope we sort of answered your question, but there really is no way of knowing for sure how many people are using or able to use Starlink and how that all is working. Because if they sort of broadcast, okay, here's what you need to do to sign on and get on internet, well, so are the Russians getting on too.
Yeah, and I know people are probably saying, well, he's the richest man in the world, he can afford to do it, or he's just doing this to get more business later. But you know what? Either way, I think still he's being a good corporate citizen. I mean,
good point.
Whatever his end goal is, he's still providing this free of charge to get this government connected.
Yep. So I ask our audience, how do you feel about that? And these kinds of things, but especially Elon Musk sending over satellites. I mean, just moving them in orbit to cover Ukraine and sending receivers. Again, corporate citizen, I think that's a good thing. Intotomorrow.com. Do let us know.